Hey, KU fans, welcome back to the KU Sports Hour, our over-under edition, Sunflower Showdown over-under edition. Shane, are you excited?
I'm very excited.
Good answer. Your voice didn't show it. Try again. Sorry. Shane, are you excited?
I'm so excited.
Wow. You hate music.
Was that there?
You hate music, and you sang a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You're a legend, man. You are an absolute legend. Speaking of legends, it is legendary this week. Mm-hmm. First of all, it is a huge, huge KU K-State football game for both teams. And just in terms of this rivalry, what it's been over the last 10 years, what it hasn't been over the last 10 years. I mean, this is exciting. And the ticket sales are up. It's going to be a beautiful afternoon. I think the place is going to be packed. And I think both football teams are going to show up with a ton of confidence, feeling like we're going to win this game. That is cool. That is different. And that is what makes this over-under the most exciting over-under podcast in the history of KUSports.com.
Wow. Well, it's only been going on for... Well, you did it before, way back in the day.
I did.
So that's true.
I did.
It's definitely the most exciting one of this year. That's
way to
all
go
I
out on a limb,
to.
Tough
yeah.
guy. Jeez.
Come on.
Let's bring the noise, Shane.
I wrote it in the blog where I post all the
this
polls.
This is better. This is better. I like where this is going.
And I said... Because, I mean, the Vegas line indicates it. I mean, this is the most compelling Sunflower Showdown in over a decade. Thus, these over-under prop bets are probably more optimistic regarding KU than they probably have been in
yeah, that's a good point.
Previous years. I mean, obviously, we didn't do polls and stuff like that before. But, you know, if we had done this for the past 10 years, they wouldn't be as optimistic as they are this week,
yeah,
this time around.
No doubt. I want to see if there's a Sunflower bump in the participation on Twitter. I mean, it's been pretty steady all year. We've been getting about the same amount of votes on the polls that you put on Twitter. But I want to see if just people's excitement, people's interest in the KU K-State thing gets some more people to vote. So if you're listening and you haven't voted, please do. Go vote. Blow this thing out of the roof or through the roof, out of the water. And yeah, it's simple. You can find it on Shane's Twitter account, S. Jackson LJW?
Yes. We spent a whole podcast talking about that.
I won't
once.
Do it again. Yeah. You can find it on our KU Sports Twitter account, at KU Sports, and you can find it on my Twitter account, at MC Tate. So, simple way to do it. Go there, check out the polls that Shane posted. All you got to do is click five things, and you're there.
Yeah, easy enough.
And you've made your voice heard heading into the Sunflower Showdown 2019. Speaking of voices being heard, I heard you last week, Shane. I heard you.
Oh.
4-1.
That's right.
You had a good week.
Mm-hmm. And 1 point off. We already talked about this, but 1 point off each way, the score prediction. I had this game pegged.
Yeah, that was good.
Did not feel good when KU was down 17-0, but in the end, it turned out to be what I expected.
Just like you drew it up.
That's pretty much, I mean,
yeah.
Again, I'm an odds maker right now.
There you go. So Shane, Action Jackson, Vegas, he is 4-1 last week, and he made up a game on Twitter. And a game on me. We were both 3-2. I think that pulled you into a tie with Twitter. Is that right?
Yes. And we are both 20-19-1, and you are still first at 22-17-1. The one I got wrong was the one that you thought I was going to get right, no matter what. The number of KU players that caught a ball.
Oh yeah, I was bummed that I went the wrong way on that
one. I set the line
at
6.5. You went under. Twitter and I went over. It was 6.
Genius.
Yeah. Incredible.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Well, if only Logan Klusman had thrown the ball.
That's true.
After he recovered that unbelievable fumble recovery, if he had thrown it, I guess it would have been an illegal forward pass, so it wouldn't have counted.
We would have still counted it.
We would have for the sake of the over under. All right, well, let's get to it. Over under, Sunflower Showdown, KUK State at Memorial Stadium, 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. Again, it's going to be a great day, and it's going to be packed, and it's going to be something to see. If that carries on to the football field remains to be seen, but everything leading up to it, everything in the stands and in the tailgate situation and all that stuff, it's going to be out of this world, man. And I'm really looking forward to this weekend and this game, and I hope the game on the field lives up to it, regardless of which way it goes. I just hope it lives up to this kind of hype and we see a great football game, because that's what people are coming for. They want to see good football. Right now, they want to hear good picks. Let's go.
Well, we'll start off with FanDuel so we ensure that it's a good pick.
Good point, our sponsor,
prop,
too.
Yes.
If you want to check it out, kusports.com/FanDuel. You can go get in on the Sunflower Showdown action. You can go bet on Shane's Ravens against the Patriots this week. You can bet on the Chiefs against the Vikings. Mm-hmm. You can have all kinds of fun over there. There's all kinds of wacky prop bets too. So KUSports.com/FanDuel if you want to get signed up. They are a proud sponsor of this podcast and other things we do here at KUSports.com. So, Shane, now that we've set that up, after ready? I forgot,
yes,
go for it.
The last 2 weeks, we've done the prop bet, which is total points scored by Kansas since Brent Deamer has taken over play calling duties. I looked at it this week, and I thought it was too easy. I thought we both would have went over.
What was it?
It was 24 points.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get into our score prediction later in the podcast. But this one was a little bit more interesting because it has been a theme for KU as of late. This is points scored by Kansas in the first half. FanDuel has set the over-under at 12. Half of what their total
points
scored.
That's so cool. I love that. You love
math. Smart thinking there. But I also think what's built into this, and the reason why I think it'll be interesting to see which way we go, is because KU has struggled out of the gate.
Right.
In a lot of these games, getting down 17-0 against Texas Tech, and they've faced double-digit deficits against Boston College, against Texas. But they've turned it on in their offense later in the game, which is why those games have been interesting. So for me, I wrote this in the Getting to Know, which will be out Saturday morning. But this is the story of the game, is if KU can get out to an early lead, I mean, they can dictate the style of play. If not, I mean, it could be a long day for Kansas. So I actually ended up going over based off what my score prediction will be, because I think KU does dictate the style of play in this one, and I think KU's going to put on a lot of points, and I expect it to be 2 touchdowns in the first half at least.
There you go. I think that's the most important thing, right? I mean, they realize that they have started slow the last couple of games, even with Dearman, and they also realize they can't do that in this game, because if they do, K-State will use their clock control, their ground game, and if they get a lead, it's going to be really hard for Kansas to come back. On the flip side of that, I think if Kansas gets a lead, it's going to be hard for K-State to come back. So there is no doubt in my mind that Brent Deamer is drawing up some of the best stuff he's drawn up this week, all season, for the start of this game, because he and this coaching staff and these players, they realize they've got to hit fast and get out early. And so if they do that, obviously that's going to mean points. So I'm with you, man. I go over. I don't think it's a gimme. I don't think it's as easy as a measly 12 sounds. That sounds so low.
It does sound easy considering what the KU's offense has done, but because of their first half struggles,
right,
and the fact that K-State can really, you know, shrink the game,
right,
by just controlling the clock, as you said.
Yeah, so you might only get 3 possessions in the first half.
Few bad possessions, and KU's at, you know, less than 10 points,
right,
in the first half.
Yeah, so. But I'm with you. I think they go over over 12 anyway, and you don't get bonus points here, not on the KU Sports Hour Over Under podcast, but I'm going to go way over.
Whoa.
Not like 60, though. Calm
down. Okay.
What's number two?
Number two is third down conversions by KU. And what's really interesting, and we'll kind of get into this throughout the prop bets, is a lot of these are built on matchups that could ultimately decide the game. And for the last decade, we haven't really talked about that for most games with KU. You know, individual matchups that could ultimately decide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It would take KU playing really well to have a chance. But now, because the way even the Vegas line's set up, that KU has a chance in this game, and it's going to come down to certain matchups based off these prop bets. Third down conversions is a big one. KU's done very well on that since Dearman took over play calling duties. They went 10 for 19 on third down against Texas 2 weeks ago, then 9 for 15 on third down against Texas Tech last week. It was an area of concern for Kansas before Dearman took over, so it's really nice to see that kind of, growth over the last 2 weeks for the Jayhawks. But K-State is the best in the country on third down defense. They know how to get teams off the field. They've allowed a total of 19 third down conversions on the year, ranks number one. And third down percentage, I think they're number one or number two. I mean, this team is built to get you in third and long situations and get you off the field. So for KU to have a chance, they have to have similar success on third down.
Yeah, I think what's really stood out about the third down conversions the last couple of weeks is just the simplicity of it, right? I mean, think about Coastal Carolina, think about Indiana State, think about TCU, and think about how hard it looked for KU on third and eight, third and seven. It looked so difficult, and that was largely because of the offense they were running and the plays that were called and things like that. Now, you see them in third down, whether it's, you know, third and long or even third and short, third and four, something like that. I mean, you almost are to the point now where you expect them to get it. And that's, I mean, to flip things that quickly within the same season, within the same month – That's remarkable. So I'm going to go over here 4.5. I think KU has to be good on third down to be in this game. And I think they will be in this game. And so I think the two go hand in hand. Over 4.5.
Yeah, I can't remember if I even said the line because I was talking so much about the prop bet. So it is 4.5. I also went over. This is probably one of the tougher ones of the five for me. Because, I mean, K-State is really good.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, again, this is one that's... There's so many of these in Vegas, right? I mean, there's those lines that look too good to be true. It's like 5, 1.25, and then another one somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And only one team has done this. I mean, it wasn't even Oklahoma. It was TCU. So it will take this for KU to have success.
Yeah. But you're going over?
I am going over as well.
Good.
Number 3 is yards per run by Kansas. I set the over-under at 5.3. Make sure I say the number from the get-go.
Well done.
Before I start talking.
Look at the guy growing up, learning in front of our eyes.
KU is averaging 5.0 yards per carry this season. K-State, meanwhile, is
5.0, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
K-State, meanwhile, is giving up 5.6 yards per carry this season. Only 5 teams in the country are worse in terms of yards per carry allowed defensively. So even though you got all these stats to say they get teams off the field in third down, I mean, this is an area of concern for K-State's defense. It's why I've kind of said a few times now the total numbers probably don't tell the whole story for K-State's defense. I think when you start looking at some of these efficiency stats, it shows that they have some holes. And I think KU, in order for them to have success, they're going to have to run the ball. They're going to get the ball to Puka 25 times in this game. So I'm actually going to go over in the situation, over 5.3 yards per run.
This is tough. This is really tough because averaging 5 yards a carry is going to be good.
Yeah.
And you're going to be okay if you can do that. The fact that K-State's giving up 5.6 is mind-blowing. So, I just really don't know where to go on this one. My initial thought was under because, again, I just think 5 yards a clip, I mean, Puka or no Puka, you just don't know. But what I'm struggling with is trying to figure out from the K-State perspective what they're going to do here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you heard their coach, Chris Kleiman, talk this week about how good Carter Stanley is under pressure. Shane, you wrote a great blog about Carter under pressure the last several weeks, how he's looked against different blitz packages and numbers of rushers and things like that. If you guys haven't read it, go read it. It's really, really good, really interesting stuff. Kleiman, obviously, I mean, he might not have read it, but he's been paying attention.
I think he did read it.
And he certainly is aware that Carter Stanley gets the ball out quick. The plays are designed to get the ball out quick. They're called that way. And so, part of me would think, okay, K-State's just going to stack the box and try to make sure Puka doesn't beat him, right? Especially when they're already giving up 5.5 yards a carry over the season. I mean, that's danger zone. You know, you don't want to be there. But because Kleiman was really emphasizing Stanley's ability to get the ball out quick and things like that, it makes me think they might not be able to do that. So I don't know. My gut feeling was under. That was my first thought. Generally stick with that. So I will go under. And I think that maybe K-State's game plan will be to try to confuse Carter, maybe not bring the house at him, but maybe drop some guys into coverages more, into spaces where he's not expecting them to be, maybe disguise some things that way. Let Puka get what he gets. You don't have to stack against that, but maybe try to, you know, have Carter beat you. I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely a weird one. But I am going to go under.
What's really interesting is that K-State's given up a lot of explosive plays. I don't know the specific stat, but I know that K-State people have talked about this. They've given up a lot of explosive plays. And KU, since Dierman's taken over, has really thrived in that. I mean, you saw all those long touchdown passes. So this would seem like a good matchup for him. And all it takes is, you know, one big Puka run. And you're talking about maybe that's a 5.5 yards per carry. So I think that's what I'm banking on more than anything.
Right.
I know that KU's going to give the ball over, again, 20 times to Puka Williams. Just one of those has to break, and I think you'll feel good about the yards per carry at the end of the game.
Yeah, Velton Gardner, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Look, he was a key part of that win over Texas Tech, and he's a talented back, too. I mean, he's certainly found his role with Dom Williams not playing and Khalil Herbert gone, and, you know, I mean – for a guy at the beginning of the season that we were trying to figure out his future and where he fits, he's a really important piece, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if he factors into this game in a big way too. So you went over, I went under.
First one we disagreed
tough
on.
Tough one, man. That was a good line, though. I like it because, number one, it spurred about 15 minutes of discussion.
Yeah.
Number two, neither one of us knows what's going to happen.
Absolutely not.
It's great to go head-to-head.
Still have no idea why I took the over. The next one I think we're going to disagree on as well, just because it's based off the way we approached the last one. This one is completions by Carter Stanley. I set the line at 23.5. The last 2 weeks, obviously, Stanley's been really good since Dearman took over. He went 27 for 47 against Texas and then 26 of 37 against Texas Tech. K-State, meanwhile, has only allowed over 18 completions in the game once, which was 22 completed passes by Baylor quarterback Charlie Brewer. Carter Stanley obviously hasn't played as well as Charlie Brewer has over the whole season,
sure,
really. But the last 2 weeks, Carter Stanley has been on another level. So it'll be interesting. I'm guessing based off the way you went the last bet that you think that K-State's going to give more to the air, and then that'll mean more completed passes for Carter Stanley.
I'm glad you made sense of what I said, and I think you're right. I think that's what I did say. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said it, and I don't know if I believe it. So that's good, right? Mm-hmm. I'm glad people are enjoying this. but I am going to go under though, against what you kind of said with my setup there. I mean, I just think this. Look, I think it's going to be. I think there are going to be opportunities for Carter to hit some big plays, of course, and I do think it's possible. Again, I don't know. I can't figure out what K-State's defensive game plan is going to be, but I do think it's possible that they're going to maybe try to discourage him and drop into coverage and things like that and maybe make him throw when he shouldn't. So I think because of that, I think he's going to throw the ball plenty. I think there will be plenty of attempts. I just think he might not be as efficient as he has been. Because if they're able to drop into some zones and areas that he's not expecting them to be, that leads to incomplete passes. And so, he doesn't have to go 26 for 37 this week to win this game. I mean, I could still see him going, 20 for 37, 20 for 40 even, as long as he hits four or five of those big plays. Yeah, you got a chance then, especially if Puka does his thing. So, it's going to be right there, man. That number is terrific. It really is good. So I am going to just lean ever so slightly to under. What is it, 23.5?
23.5. I changed it, not since I sent it to you.
Just right now?
No, earlier. It was 24.5 is what I set it at, and then I was like, no, let's go one more lower.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. 23.5 is perfect. And I mean, I'm telling you, I think I'm seeing 21, 22 completions, which – again, could still lead to a very productive day, chunk yardage. I mean, he could have a good afternoon, even only completing 20 passes. But I do think the completion percentage and just the efficiency, it could be a challenge this week. There's no doubt about it. So I will go under 23.5, just ever so slightly.
Yeah, the reason why I originally bumped it down was just because I baked in the fact that K-State defense is hardly ever on the field into that, so KU's offense wouldn't be on the field as well. I mean, I think there are number two and fewest plays played by the K-State defense, and so that's why I ultimately dropped it down by one. And I thought we were going to disagree on it, and so I audible late, and that's what I was doing here, writing. I'm chasing points again.
You got to.
Which hasn't worked well for me over the last couple weeks, because every time I go against you just because, I usually get it wrong.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I don't want to put pressure on you, okay, but there's a game coming up. I don't remember what game it is, but it's the week of Thanksgiving when I will be covering KU basketball in Maui.
Ooh.
And I will not be here an over-under.
So
I will happily vote, and I will happily send you my emails. We won't have an over-under podcast maybe that week. Maybe we will. Maybe we can just do it over the phone or whatever. But if something goes awry that week and you lose five opportunities to catch up, you got to find a way to do it now.
Exactly.
No pressure.
I have to go disagree on everything. Let's just scrap this podcast. I am going to go over in the situation. Yeah, mostly because I want to disagree with you. But I could see a scenario, as I set the original over-under at 24.5. So I could see him getting 24, 25 completions, just like you can see 21, 22. So I'm going to go
That's
over.
That's the sign of a good number.
Basically what I'm saying is I'm a super smart
You're
guy.
You're a genius.
but really the original reason why I went under was because I didn't want to go over all the way through.
That's dumb.
This is my fourth over in a row, so
it's like flipping a coin, man. It you don't worry about what just happened. It's still 50-50
shot.
Yeah, it doesn't. You could have 100 heads in a row, The chances of that next one being heads, still 50-50, or tails. It doesn't matter. I love that. It's one of my favorite theories in the world. I'm not a very complicated guy. Let's go to the fifth and final one for this week's Over Under podcast. Again, brought to you by FanDuel. KUSports.com/FanDuel if you want to get in on any of this action. They don't have all of these because they haven't hired Shane Jackson yet, but they do have a lot of these and others, and there's a lot of fun stuff. You can make your weekend and your Saturday and your Sunday a little more interesting if that's your thing. If it's not, no big deal, but go check it out if you want. KUSports.com/FanDuel will get you signed up. And you'll be on your way. Shane, number five.
The fifth one is a FanDuel prop. It's the one we usually end on. It's total points scored in this entire game by both teams. The line is set at 54.5. So I like to also have this one just so we have to give a score prediction and just to kind of see where we're at heading into this game. So what is your call on this and your score prediction?
Let's see, 59.5.
54.5.
Oh, sorry, 54.5. Okay, yeah. Over, and again, the Dearman factor, but also the KU defense factor. I mean, I don't know. It's not a bad number, and you didn't set this one, so you're off the hook.
I am.
But I would be really surprised if it's not over. I mean, one of these teams would have to totally no-show offensively, is the way I see it. I mean, because even though I think K-State has a pretty solid defense, they've shown vulnerabilities at times this year and are not afraid to give up some points. And KU's offense is obviously rolling a little bit right now, so I don't see K-State shutting down KU's offense completely. And obviously we're not expecting KU's defense to shut down K-State's offense completely, although I do think, and I've said this earlier, I said it on the KU Sports Hour, if KU can get out to a 10-0 lead or something like that, 14-0 of course, I think it's game over right away. I don't think K-State's built to come back. And I know they did it last week against Oklahoma, but I just don't see it, especially in this game, this setting, this week, this point in time. So anyway, I'm going over. And I picked KU in the picks plus the points, yep. Which was what, 4?
It was, yeah, I believe 4 or 5. I can't remember exactly. But now it's 5.5. It's settled at 5.5.
Okay. So I took Kansas with the points. I have K-State winning, but I think KU covers, and I've got it at like 34-31, somewhere in that range, K-State. So that would be 65 right there. That goes over easy, and, you know, 31-28 goes over, and KU covers. 33-30 goes over, and KU covers. I mean, all those things. So I think we're going to get a great game, and I certainly think KU can win this game. I just think that it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. And I think they're going to have to be so efficient and play their best game with their fewest amount of mistakes, because if they get in a hole, it's over that way too, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's going to be a doozy. But I've got it at like 34-31 K-State. So that's a KU cover and an over.
Yeah, to continue the trend of over for me,
look
I'm
at you.
Also going to go over.
You have to, right?
Yes, I do.
I mean, everybody would. I mean, I'm sure there'll be plenty of money coming on the under, but again, I'd be really surprised. Don't hold me to that. If you go to kusports.com/FanDuel and you bet the over and it goes under, don't come after me, please.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, but
not KU or K-State's fault.
But I would be surprised. I just would. I just think this is a very attainable number. I mean, I think, you know, look, I think either team could put up 40 points. And if you do that, you don't even need the other team to score, you know, 3 times barely. So anyway, keep going. I want to hear what you think, not what I think.
Well, it is a lot of what you were saying, the Dearman factor, the KU defense factor.
Sure.
What it really is interesting is a lot of people are predicting a high-scoring game. It feels like that seems to be the common sentiment when you look at predictions.
Uh-huh.
High-scoring K-State wins close. So they're basically saying that nobody's defense is really that good.
Right.
And that the offenses are capable of putting up points this weekend. I don't know. I mean, you touched on it. I think this is a completely different situation if KU can jump out to an early lead. And, I mean, the game's not that simple because it's football and wacky things happen, but it just feels like the way KU has played through the season, this seems like an outlier. I mean, this doesn't happen getting into this hole all the time.
Right.
Especially for a team who has good coaches,
right,
who seems prepared for games, especially the last 2 weeks when Dearman takes over. So when KU jumps out to a lead, I want to see what that's like for this team. And I think that's going to happen this game, and I think it completely dictate everything that happens. And so...
Well, K-State, they're not built to come back. Again, I know they did it last week from down 10-0 to Oklahoma, but that was at home, and they still had a lot of time, and it just, you know, they stuck to their plan. I'm sure they will here too, but the rivalry game, things get intense, especially, again, you see what KU's offense can do. If they can get a 7 or a 10-point lead, and then K-State answers, all KU has to do then is go score, and you just keep them at arm's length, all day. And I'm not saying that's going to happen or it's going to be easy if it does, but that's why it's so key, because I just think if you get KU in a position to chase points like they've had to do the last couple of weeks where they're down 17-0 or whatever it was at Texas, 17-3?
Yeah, I believe it was 17-3, and they throw an interception on the first play against Boston College. They get
sure,
a hole there.
Sure,
so.
Yeah. If they're trying to do that in this one, I think they're in trouble, period.
But they've shown they can do it. And so, yeah, I think it obviously, when this game starts, after the first quarter, if KU's down 14 points, I won't feel good. But I ultimately committed in the getting to know to a prediction of KU winning.
Did you?
I called KU winning 38, K-State 31.
Okay.
And I think that was evident by all the numbers I was ultimately choosing in this one.
Sure.
I think KU is going to dictate how this game is played. But that could be a completely different story if they face a double-digit deficit in the first quarter like they did last week. And we kind of alluded to that multiple times. So, yeah, I ultimately think KU is going to win this game, which probably is different than most people's predictions.
Yeah, probably. I mean, look, here's the thing. And you know you can't deal in hypotheticals, and you can't say if this didn't happen, then this. I mean, I guess you can. You can do anything you want, but I think that K-State, that win last week over OU was shocking. I don't think anyone saw it coming, and as much as they deserve all the credit in the world for figuring out a way to do that, I also think it has sort of eliminated or erased some of the, you mentioned this, there are some holes on this team. And I think that the average fan or the casual fan even has been looking at this thing going, well, K-State just beat Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. There's no way KU is going to beat them. KU couldn't hang with OU. So, duh, obvious stuff, right? And I just think that OU win is masking a few things that K-State has in terms of flaws. And so if you can wash that from your memory, you can put that behind you, and you can just look at where these teams are and the fact that this is a totally new week and it's a matchup that goes X versus Y, right? I mean, I think then that makes it a much more interesting game. If you're hung up on that OU score and you can't get past it, then I think you think K-State's going to roll, and they very well might.
Yeah.
But I applaud you for looking past that, because that's not easy to do. Again, I think a lot of people are just looking at that and going, hey, K-State just beat OU, man. You know, if they hadn't, maybe KU'd be in this game, but they did. So KU's in trouble. And that might be true, but I just think that adds to the buzz. It adds to the hype. It adds to the anticipation of this game, because that's just one more wrinkle that adds excitement.
That probably comes from my own like gambling philosophy. When I'm looking at things from afar and I see, you know, a team comes off from a big win, I mean,
right,
I'm expecting a letdown in some
sure,
way.
Sure.
K-State's coming off probably their biggest win of the season. This could be KU's biggest win of the season. And even if I wasn't entrenched on the matchups and looking in depth and all that stuff, I think just from afar, from a gambling perspective, I go, well, I think I'd take the points here in this situation, which we obviously did. And then I would consider KU winning outright, even if I didn't necessarily look in depth of that, just based off the letdown aspect
right,
of it all.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's going to be wild, man. It's going to be interesting. The best part about it is it's 2:30. It's mm-hmm. not you wait all day and the nerves kick in and you got to kick off at 7 o'clock, and it's not 11 a.m. and somebody wasn't ready because it's too early and all that. It is 2:30. There's no excuse for either side to not be ready to play. And I would imagine they'd be ready to play if they kicked off at 3 a.m. or 11 p.m. I mean, it's just one of those weeks, and it's been really cool to see the buzz be legitimate around this rivalry again. So we'll be up there with our full crew ready to cover this thing from start to finish, and even a little before that. Shane, any final thoughts here on the Over Under podcast brought to you by FanDuel?
I think we've pretty much hit every single aspect of this game that we can. I'm really excited to watch this game
yeah.
In person, and Last year we kind of faked this hype for this game, said that KU was closing the gap, and it was more the fact that K-State wasn't playing well. This year feels different because both teams are playing well the last 2 weeks since their bye week, and I'm expecting a good game. Anything short of that would be a disappointment.
He's Shane Jackson. I'm Matt Tate. That's your Over-Under podcast for this week. Here at the KU Sports Hour, enjoy the game, whether you're one of those 50,000 fans that's going to be there, or you're going to watch on TV, or you're going to be running around the streets, listening to it on the radio, however you're watching or paying attention, enjoy it, enjoy the weekend, and as soon as it's over, we'll turn our attention to KU Duke next week in New York. A big, big week for Kansas sports, a big week here at KUSports.com. For Shane Jackson, I'm Matt Tate. Thanks for checking out this episode. We'll talk to you guys again real soon.